Hello. Welcome to my talk about post-quantum cryptography. I want to give you a bit of an update over what happened since we last had this talk 2 years ago, Dennis Knoll and myself. I will briefly introduce it again, what are the ideas behind it, and then I will follow the pattern, like looking at first the standardization efforts, then what Upstream is doing, and also what we are doing on our side, so what is our status on the whole post-quantum cryptography effort. So, why do we need post-quantum cryptography? We relied in cryptography largely that we had operations that would scale with the amounts of bits or with the sizes of the numbers used in at least a linear fashion. Yeah? So, the whole consideration for this asynchronous cryptography is that we are protected by inherent properties of mathematics. So, for instance, RSA, Diffie-Hellman used both multiplication of big numbers with moduli, and assumed that reverting those, the factorization of those numbers, is hard and or very hard and depends on the size of the numbers. Similar elliptic curves following polynomials. Also that reversing those operations is very hard and depending on the size of the specific parameters. So we thought we were protected by math. However, that turned out not to be the case. Similar to physics, where people thought, yeah, I know physics if I know acceleration and some bit of gravity. No, physics also suffers from quantum level problem. Levels that you need to understand, and that gives surprises to us. Yeah. So we are looking at the event of quantum computers that have been already invented quite some time ago, but they operate on this form of quantum entanglement. So simplified is that you can set up your quantum computer in a specific setting so that you can modulate something equivalent to an equation, and then in the end, by observing the state, in the end, you can get the result of this computation. It's very simplified. Yeah? And the good, the interesting thing is that with this quantum entanglement and this immediate communication, it can solve the equation immediately. Yeah? In real world, this is not working on a 1-1 relationship because it's at quantum level, there is lots of errors, so you need to do lots of error correction, you need to do retries, and so on. But basically, the idea is that operations, or some operations can happen near instantly. depends on how big you can set up this equation. That depends on the so-called qubits that are available. And the number of qubits is still relatively small. So what can be done is still in a very limited space. Even before actual quantum computers existed, people have developed algorithms on a theory of that happens. Like for, and the most famous one in the cryptographic world is Shor's algorithm. It helps to factorize numbers in a very specific form or fashion. The exact detail Dennis knows much better than myself, but the basic of this is that it can help us factorize numbers much faster than math would allow, or math would suggest to do that. And that breaks the assumption that we have a number length versus the time, and so in effect could make and break RSA, elliptic curves, Diffie-Hellman algorithms. So all the scientists involved are quite confident that this can happen and will happen as soon as we have a sufficiently large quantum computer. What is quantum resistant? That's also an interesting thing, so not looking at the bad things, but also the good things. So what about hashes or symmetric cryptography? What we have with the SHA algorithms and the AES algorithms is that they largely rely on bit scrambling, not math properties. Similar, hard to reverse. It's still, of course, also possible that quantum computers can make reversing these operations faster, but they're not making it faster in a significant shift, but so only can make that percentage faster. So it's considered not broken at this. Still, with the advent of quantum computing, we consider that, or the scientists consider that you need to use the most, the largest bit length for those operations. So that means we need new resistant, quantum resistant algorithms for key exchange and digital signatures because they are based on RSA, elliptic curves, Diffie-Hellman, and similar things, but not for symmetric ciphers or hashes. There are various methods that researchers come up with. So module lattice, that's learning with errors. So basically you have a matrix that you operate on and there are errors in it, and reverting those equations is very hard and not doable easily by quantum computers. And out of those, the standardization efforts have found a way to implement a key exchange mechanism and also a signature algorithm called MLChem, ML for module lattice, and DSA or Chem for these respective algorithms. We also have a stateless hash-based digital algorithm, so it's entirely based on hashes. That's called SLH DSA. And we also have, less importantly, however, for our real-world use cases, stateful hash-based signatures with the codenames LMS and XMMS. And there are also other algorithms available, but they have not been really standardized yet, like PhotoChem, another key exchange mechanisms, or MacAllies. So looking at the standardization efforts, this has happened very slowly over the years, but now we have for over a year now the standardizations for the key exchange certified by the US NIST as FIPS 203. We have 204 for the MLDSA, 205 SLH DSA, and XMS and LMS are not FIPS standardized, but are defined in RFCs. So these are defined, and the standardization bodies have, however, called for more of those algorithms to be certified or standardized because they consider the risk that some of those could be broken or become in other way non-usable. So more standards are developed as we are speaking and likely will be introduced in the next years. So this is the lower-level cryptographic algorithms. But what we are also want is how we want to operate algorithms like TLS, like SSH, so the next, the protocol level standardization. The biggest introductions or improvements that we had on this is so-called hybrid key exchange. So use both post-quantum safe and post-quantum unsafe algorithms together, combine them together, so that either one of those is broken, the other one would save, save the connection, the privacy or integrity protection. So if one fails, it just doesn't automatically fall open. And we've seen so far combinations of the elliptic curve 25519 combined with MLChem. So this at 768 bit, I think. Yeah. And we have also seen this with the NIST curve P256R1 combined with MLChem. What the standards that are used is usually they concatenate each them, so after each other, but don't combine them. Although this seems to be also a point of discussion if they should not be XORed or otherwise mangled. So this is an ongoing discussion. But here, yeah, this is what we're looking at. The NSA, you might be aware of, is pushing for post-quantum only algorithms. They might know more, they might know less than we do, but with not enough knowledge, the community so far would prefer hybrid key exchanges. How does it look at the internet standards? So we have the TLS 1.3. And there's a draft IETF RFCs to define the two new hybrid methods, so both the X25519 and the NIST curve P256 curves hybrids are defined in an RFC and implemented with TLS 1.3 only, not in older TLS versions, also implemented with a TLS extension. For Ike version 2, that's the IPsec key exchange. There's also a draft standard with this hybrid methods. For SSH, OpenSSH, the primary implementation has two algorithms, SNTRUP 761 is another post-quantum algorithm combined with elliptic curve, and current recently also MLChem 768. What is not yet done, or what there is nothing crystallizing out yet, is secure boot. How is secure boot protected? Likely it will, however, see some form of post-quantum only thing like a MLDSA signature or similar. But that's that secure boot is missing is a very big problem so far, because also secure boot and code signing are the ones that should be implemented first, but we don't really have something for secure boot yet. So let's look a bit at the upstream implementation status. OpenSSH, we have this SNTRUP algorithm since 9.0, so we have it in the 15 and 16 series of Leap and SLES. And there's also recently added MLChem elliptic curve hybrid. That, however, is only available since 9.9 P1 OpenSSH, and so far only in SLES 16.0 and Leap 16.0. However, we are currently considering also backporting this to SLES 15 SP7. If we're looking at OpenSSL, we started with OpenSSL 3.0, 3.1, and 3.2, where we used the so-called Open Quantum Safe Provider to provide the low-level algorithms into OpenSSL. Starting with OpenSSL 3.5, however, the low-level, standardized low-level algorithms are implemented natively, and also this TLS 1.3 hybrid cipher is only available starting with OpenSSL 3.5. So OpenSSL 3.5 we had added to Leap 16.0, so it's present there, but it's not in the 15 series. And even though we are currently still considering updating SLES 15 SP7 to OpenSSL 3.5. We are not considering, but we will update OpenSSL 3.5 there in the next months. There are more TLS implementations. The one from Go supports this hybrid cipher since Go 1.24. So if you're building against Go 1.24, you will likely already have it. We have Mozilla NSS since 3.105. That's also available already in OpenSUSE and SLES. And GNU TLS, they supported since 3.88. StrongSwan IPsec implementation supports it since version 6, also in Leap 16.0. The question is, am I using it already? And the answer is yes. So the question is how you find out. That's a bit more tricky. For instance, if you're using OpenSSL, you can just connect to a server with connect, and there's a lot of debug printed, but in the middle of the debug output, you will see this. Negotiated TLS 1.3 group, X5519, MLChem 768, and that means you are using post-quantum hybrid cipher for your TLS. I used fonts.google.com, haven't tried SUSE.com or OpenSUSE.org, but I can do that later. If you're using Wireshark, it's a bit harder. You can, however, look at, is it the server hello or the client hello, and unfold, if you unfold in Wireshark all the extensions, there will be the post-quantum key exchange extension shown, and it will also show that this kind of group is being used. If you're using Chromium, you're using it. Firefox, for some reason, I'm not seeing it used. It's kind of weird. It should be able to use it, but as Mozilla NSS provides it, but I have not seen proof of Mozilla using it. On the server side, if we're using Leap 16, with OpenSSL, then you will also have automatically this post-quantum availability there. So you don't need to change your server keys for that, because this is the on-the-line key exchange, over the line. So yeah, summarizing what we have, OpenSUSE, Leap 16.0, and Tumbleweed. TLS, largely supported. Yeah, Firefox, questionable again, but most of the applications supported. What we are not doing yet is GPG and RPM. So GPG, The implementation has not yet picked up post-quantum ciphers, and our RPM also currently does not provide post-quantum safe signatures. Similar, secure boot, as mentioned, we are not yet at a point where secure boot would be available. What we have work in progress is that we sign our RPMD repositories with MLDSA signatures. So we have implemented a super plugin, or Michael Schröder and Michael Andres have implemented a super plugin that verifies signatures based on MLDSA. The keys are already delivered in OpenSUSE build keys, and a plugin will also be delivered in the next months. And then this kind of trust chain coming from our RPM MD repositories has then post-quantum safe signatures. One big topic that occasionally brings problems is the so-called crypto policies framework. So we've added crypto policies several years ago, and that is the global configuration for system services, command line utilities that where you can specify as an administrator in one place globally what kind of ciphers you want to enable, what kind of profile you want to enable, and can switch that on the fly. So the default profile we have in 16.0 is, and also /15 SP7 is with post-quantum enablement. That was a late change. Originally, the original Leap 16.0 crypto policy did not have it, but we released an update that provides the enablement. There's also a FIPS profile. The FIPS profile in 16.0 also has post-quantum enablement with the FIPS approved ciphers. If you, for some reason, don't want it, there's a modifier for the crypto policies you can select with no-pq, and it will disable the post-quantum ciphers. But I currently see no reason, unless you have some third-party SSL gateways that crash for some reason with that. So here we will also working with upstream, putting in more code, and add more policies or change the policies accordingly. Last but not least, we identified also that we don't really know whoever uses cryptography in our product and what libraries offer. And as this becomes more and more complicated, as more algorithms come, there is the standardization that you can provide a cryptographic bill of material, CBOM, short, like similar to software bill of material, that tracks in which packages, in which files is the cryptography, what kind of cryptography is in there, like including if you have AES, what kind of AES modes, what kind of bit sizes are supported. This is currently work in progress at SUSE, so we will be using a company that has an open source offering and contract with them for improvements, and then provide the cryptographic bill of material for SLES and also for OpenSUSE Leap. So this is work in progress, likely happening somewhere this year, but not in the next months. So what is the outlook? SUSE, we will be adding more post-quantum stuff as soon as it becomes available. There are some applications that on /15 that are still using OpenSSL 1.1. We will move them to OpenSSL 3. So we need to identify if we have gaps and then fix them. We will provide cryptographic bombs also to use and identify those places. And interesting enough, that's something I had not thought of until this week, is that at some point we will start disabling the non-post-quantum safe algorithms. So of course we need to find out what else we need, what kind of stuff. Like data in rest is, for instance, not yet covered at all. So like Lux encrypted systems, we have not thought about it because we focus now on data in transit where third parties can much easier listen to it. These are also things, so we will find more places to add it, secure boot, data at rest stuff. And then, again, we will start disabling features there. Yeah, that was my short overview over post-quantum state of the union for Leap and SLES. Are there any questions? just there in the back.
When you talk about post-quantum support in SLE 16.0, can I assume that Tumbleweed and newer SLE versions have the same or even better?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
It's only moving forward, yes. We see then that we try to backport from Tumbleweed or SLE 16 newer versions as good as we can. Yeah. Martin?
Sorry, I'm kind of panicking. OpenSSL 3 thing, that's for SLE 16 or even for SLE 15.
Okay, why?
No, that's a question.
I did not get the question, but I'm not panicking.
You were saying that we are planning to switch off OpenSSL 1.1.
The thing is, So SLE 16 does not use OpenSSL 1 anymore. So we have no OpenSSL. There we have OpenSSL is entirely 3.5. We have some plans to add a parallel OpenSSL 4, but that has not yet is not yet work in progress. But we have that in our back. SLE 15 Service Pack 7 is the one we are focusing on for of the SLE 15 series. So there we still have OpenSSL 3.2, but we have approved feature. That has to be implemented. We promised this to customers that we want to go to 3.5 to get this post-quantum support. Might have some fallout that we need to take care of, yes. And SLE 15 SP7 still has some OpenSSL 1 users, and we need to migrate them to OpenSSL 3.5. And I know Python 3.6. Python 3.6, that will be, I think, the most interesting challenge that we have there. But I mean, for by Mate. Yeah, we need to, first we will do the jump. Hopefully it doesn't break anything, and the converting the other stragglers that use OpenSSL 1 still, we will then convert piece by piece. Yeah.
So cert storage is one of the things that I'm interested in. There seem to be some conversations around the difficulty of supporting models for revoking certificates and also the size of the Merkle certs. Mm-hmm. Is there an upstream project that you're working on that handles that CA?
So what I did not include is that there's, of course, X509 standardization, so that assigning IDs and the storage. I'm not 100% familiar with the current state there. So we have shipped our these MLDSA keys that we will use for certification as PEM files so far with the current X509 IDs. The whole CA story is it's still missing. So I've not yet we have not yet dug into that very much. More questions? Okay, then thank you. thank you. Andreas, you had a question or? Okay, sorry.
That's
okay, that's okay. Yeah. So the QA security team, so the QA security squad has added post-quantum testing to OpenQA. It's still a bit limited, and so but they are adding on top of that. So yes, there is basics of it, and yeah.
And the underlying infrastructure?
I mean, it's part of the system.
Is it supported on every platform?
So largely what I've been talking about is software-based. I've not looked into the hardware acceleration, so there surely will be hardware-accelerated stuff like assembler-optimized or if like the IBM crypto hardware or other hardware implements also MLChem or MLDSA then in hardware, then we will work with the partner. With IBM, we are working very closely. They tell us we should add this and then we will add this.
IBM has already added, when I was still working there, at least that the larger key size of the post-quantum algorithms could be handled.
Yeah.
So they have this also prepared for when the crypto algorithm will be on their card that they can use that.
A crypto express card
the newer Crypto Express card versions can do that. And I know that the x86 folks, they're of course always people that do the assembler optimizations for those algorithms in the cryptographic libraries. And also the IBM Power department is also usually doing assembler optimized algorithms. So that, yeah. But it's, the main part is that the software is there. That for me, the important part is that the implementations using it migrate. So that we offer that, even if it's a bit slow originally, so not fully hardware optimized, but the hardware optimization will or is being added or is already in there. Yeah.
My statement regarding that, we had a hot discussion in the Linux distribution working group about it, because IBM is developing also in parallel a little bit and contributing there with the post-quantum cryptography, especially with the background knowledge they have got a quantum computer, and they want to transfer it with post-quantum cryptography also to their own developed hardware, of course, and therefore the Crypto Express cards can do that. I believe they are also compatible with x86 and something like that, but not many people are using it on other hardware. And yes, with version to version, they are adding additional features.
The Crypto Express cards are standard PCI cards available on x86, Power, and S390.
Yeah, and each one costs like a little car.
So this is a different question.
Yeah, for me, primarily the most important part is that we get the software part running. Optimization is on the back, is of course important, but for me, first is not the primary priority. Yeah, the primary priority is that the whole distribution understands and can speak post-quantum stuff, and then, of course, yeah, optimizations. Will happen anyway, yeah, come from partners and yeah, upstream. Okay. I don't.
AWS has also implemented the same thing.
I think in there. Ah, nice.
Yeah. Yes, an AWS guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the reason I asked about the CA, is that we're trying to figure out what the right answer is for the CA methodologies that's going to work cross distribution.
Yeah,
And cross clouds.
Yeah, perhaps the most interesting piece is that, for instance, the SSL root CAs are all either elliptic curve or RSA based, and they need to then be replaced with also post quantum safe forms. But it's not something we can control, at least not SUSE. That, I mean, we can of course participate in standard working bodies, but it's, yeah, I'm currently focused on our stuff. Yeah.
We're all working together.
Yeah. Okay. I think my time is up anyway. So, yeah. Thank you.